What I wanted to do was to find out what I wanted to do. I wanted to find out who I really was at root. And so I went to work for 2 years in Emmons for a while. There are a lot of folks from Emmons here tonight, incidentally. One less. And what I found was that what I learned from Emmons was what I needed to learn. What I was looking for was a challenge that would be hard, a really hard job that would make me use every ounce and fiber of my being to try to succeed. And the people, the good people of Emmons, gave me that opportunity. God bless them. They took me in. They fed me, which is important to me. And only 156 families at that time. It's much bigger now, car to G. But I learned that public service is what I want to do. Because if you love people who are constantly trying to push a rock uphill with life sort of stacked against them, but they don't quaver, they just go ahead, and they become close, and you form bonds, and you form committees, and you start doing things, and then all of a sudden you have activities going 6 days out of 7. In effect, I was reborn in a secular sense in Emmons because of the people. They told me, without telling me, what I needed to do and who I was, and that I was okay. So I just, you can't spend 2 years in Emmons without your heart reaching out to education, to jobs, to opportunity, to health care, and to a life for good people who haven't really been given a whole lot of breaks. And so every single day since my days at Emmons, I've never changed. I've always fought for the same thing. I mean, different colorations. But they made me who I am. And I love them for it. It's all about helping people. And the tougher the job, the deeper the satisfaction. So that's what happened, Valerie, to me. I came as a VISTA, not sure that I was going to spend my whole life. After the first year, I knew I was going to spend my whole life. And that's the way it is.
Mommy, what have been some of your proudest accomplishments as they relate to your work and life here in West Virginia?
Well, let me start by saying, oh no, can you hear me? Yes? Okay, good. Let me start by saying thank you to those who ran the JJ dinner this year. I'm looking at a vast sea of faces because when Jay was governor, I planned and organized the JJ dinner with J.C. Dillon for 8 years. And let me tell you, it took us 8 to 10 months to get as high, I think, near 1,300 people when Teddy Kennedy came. But it was a struggle every single year. And I'm glad you're all here, and I'm glad we did it then, and you've done it now. And my heart goes out to you. This is a really poignant and touching evening for the Rockefeller family. It's flooding us with a lot of memories. When we came to West Virginia, or when I came, I guess, I was 22 years old. Jay had lived here, I think, 2 years, a total of 2 years, before I came. I just finished college, So I guess I was sort of young and naive, if you will. But what I found was many, many genuine and honest people who were always welcoming to me, extremely sincere, and in that I was a Midwesterner, everyone's earnest and sincere, and I was thrilled that you were as well-grounded as I was raised to be. West Virginians have and had the right values, a love of family, a love of community, a sense of place, and a real spirituality that is always guided by generosity and compassion for others. West Virginia has been a perfect place for us to start our family and to teach our children to live these values and to help them understand and learn for 20, 25, and 30 years what truly matters in life. So I'll talk to you later about my proudest achievements, but getting the real base of your character, of your personality, and it's always rooted in one's family and in the people that we know along the way, is what starts us off on the right foot and carries us through the journey we call life. Thank you.
Daddy, many times publicly and privately, many times you've discussed how when West Virginians embrace you, they never let go. And so for you, looking into the future, how is this relationship with West Virginia going to drive your decisions once you leave elected office?
Well, I may leave elected office, but I'm not going to leave West Virginia. I feel very strongly and very proud of Sharon in general and always, and a little bit of myself, for spending 50 years in public service, in public life, in helping people, trying to, sometimes failing, often failing, but always trying. And I don't think that happens a lot, but I was never distracted. I was never attracted by another way of doing things or another point in life. So I'm proud of the 50 years of public service that Sharon and I have both done. I believe in it. I believe in, it's very hard work, but it's noble work. We've got a wonderful younger generation coming up in West Virginia, and I'm very optimistic about our future. But who gets to be so lucky as to fight on a broad scale as a governor and as a senator and other ways for jobs, for health care, for veterans, for seniors, for working people, for minors with black lung, for minors, for people who have COPD, which Cecil Roberts and I learned a lot about today, and don't know it. People who are hurting, people who need somebody just to listen to them. And I get, and veterans, obviously, veterans. Do you know, I'll say this, and I'll put myself way out on the limb, but I have a cousin who knows a lot of scientists who's been working for quite some time on a cure for post-traumatic stress disorder. And as you know, going all the way back to the First World War, to the Civil War, if they could still talk, there isn't anybody who's seen combat overseas who does not have PTSD and is dying inside, looks okay on the outside, maybe has wounds, maybe doesn't. But it drives them to do things that scare them. And I think that there may be a cure for PTSD around the corner. And I'm working on a project in which, so far, the FDA has approved it, clinical trials, and 83% of all the veterans who participated in that clinical trial have lost PTSD. They've lost it. Now it's not done, and it's not gone, and it's something we all have to worry about because we love veterans. Most of the things that I'm proud of that I've worked on were mentioned. I'm sitting next to Cecil Roberts. It'll be hard to match the Coal Act because that was back in 1992, and coal companies who promised health benefits and compensation to their workers in contract, in a union contract, and just walked away from it. And these folks who are tended to be elderly were out there in the cold, and we passed something called the Coal Act, which took actually a little over 200,000 miners all across America, a lot of them here, and gave them the health care that others had denied or taken away from them. We did it through a public program, and it's still operating, isn't it, Cecil? It's still going. I'm very proud of the fact that I voted for the Violence Against Women Act in 1994. And then we've kept reauthorizing it. But you know what? The thing I think that touches me the most, but I have the least to do with, is called casework. It's when you have a large staff. I have a wonderful staff here in West Virginia under the leadership of Rocky Goodwin or Rochelle Goodwin, whichever way you want to go on that. And they do a lot of casework. And casework is simply when people bring their problems to you, their frustrations, the fact they can't find work, they didn't get their check, they didn't get their veterans benefits. And people that work here and in Washington, they crash through brick walls. They take on the Pentagon. They take on the Veterans Administration. They take on anybody, and including soldiers who got all kinds of awards during wars, but they never got the awards. They got the Purple Heart, maybe, but not the Silver Cross and the other things. Well, so we just turn ourselves into a working machine until we beat that medal out of the bureaucracy and then give that medal to the veteran. And usually that the veteran's maybe in his 80s or something, or her 80s by that time. But helping people in that way, solve frustrations, work through problems, just to be at their side when they need you is incredible. Now, I want to do something right now. Actually, I want to do two things. One, I've been blessed when I was governor and senator to have an amazing staff led by Kerry Yates and Rocky Goodwin and Ellen Dineski on the Commerce Committee. But lo and behold, unbeknownst to me, about 200 of those staff people have come back for this evening, and I would ask if they would stand, please.
Packing the crowd.
Well, we're a little short of 200. What about my friends from Emmons? Will you stand? There they are. Obviously, I thank all the people, and the Vice President, his speech was absolutely unbelievable. But I want to say something else. I'm proud of the work I've done in the Senate. I don't want that work to be passed on to the wrong person. I want it to be passed on to the right person. So will you join me in an all-out effort to elect Natalie Tennant as the next senator?
Well, you asked the question of me about proudest achievements, because I think you were skipping over that, right?
No, we should go back.
Yeah.
And now, Mummy, if you would speak a little bit more about some of your proudest achievements in West Virginia.
Oh, I'd love to, Valerie. Well, let me start with the concept of organizing one's life. Well, you never know going forward, but looking back, you try to understand the pattern. When Jay proposed marriage to me, he said, well, can I get married? Will I get married to him on April Fool's Day, April 1st, 1967? So I really couldn't, you know his dry sense of humor. So I didn't really know if this was a straightforward proposal or a big fat joke. So I waited a couple of hours, even a full day, and he came back and said, well, what kind of answer are you going to give me? I said, well, what kind of question was that? So he said, well, are you going to marry me on April 1st? And I said, so what about April 1st? He said, well, it's the first Saturday after the House of Delegates adjourns, and I'll be free to come to Chicago. So I said, fine, now I get it. And we did. Now I understand the pattern of organization. He thinks in terms of election years. So the pattern going forward was elections are held in, like, for example, 1968, 1972, 1976, 1980, 1986, 1990, 1994, 1996, and forevermore. And my response to that was, I was free to do what I wanted in off-election years. Try that one in your life. So my son John was born in 1969. My daughter Valerie, 1971. Charles in 1973. And Justin in 1979. And then I had to find some professional interests in between all those years. So I taught when I first came to Charleston in Coal Branch Heights for 2 years. I didn't have any particular training in education. I was just a bossy oldest sister of 5 kids who had done a whole lot of babysitting. And I knew how to tell kids what to do. Put your jackets on, tie your shoes, learn your numbers, and wipe off your mouth. And then I started Mountain Artisans with 2 of my friends who I met my first month in West Virginia. We all went to the Ripley Arts and Crafts Fair. I just heard about it on the radio. And they were having displays there. One was named Florette Angel, and she worked for the Arts and Crafts Division of the Department of Commerce. So she knew where all of the quilters were working in the entire state of West Virginia. And Florette Angel was her name. She was an angel in many senses. Dorothy Weatherford was a designer. So she designed all of our quilts and skirts and patterns for Mountain Artisans. We set up an organization where we had 1,500 women working throughout the state in 7 different counties where they doubled their family income and basically put women to work who loved quilting, who knew how, who had tremendous skills, but never had a way of marketing or selling their good works. And then after that, the kids were old enough to watch Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers, and we lived in Buchanan during those years, sort of a deep dive in our political life. Jay had lost the election for governor, but Buchanan had a public radio station, Wesleyan did. And I listened to public radio. The kids were watching Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers, and I understood public broadcasting. The Watergate hearings were on. I listened to them on radio and television, and my interest in public broadcasting took hold. When Jay was elected governor, I asked for 1 appointment. I should probably not tell you this, but I said I wanted to go on the statewide authority because I was really interested. And then when he was elected senator, I went to work full-time in Washington after having worked on the West Virginia Authority for 15 years. And now I've had a full-time day job in Washington working with Ken Burns full-time on his important historical work on the Washington Week program, We produce the PBS NewsHour every single night, the 4th of July program, the Memorial Day program, and now we're working on a great, big, huge project on cancer. I live to tell the tale, and I hope that many other people will know a lot sooner. Know a lot sooner than I did, because I had an advanced case, stage 3B, and barely survived. And if we can educate ourselves, this is a disease that we can conquer in time. And it is all about education. So everybody should have a good chance of living. So thanks, Valerie. That's what I've been up to.
In closing, once again, I'll say on behalf of the boys and myself, thank you for being incredible parents and inspiring role models and for teaching us West Virginia values. And thank you to you all, and I will turn it over to each of you for closing thoughts.
Well, this is easy to say and hard to say. I came here with a good life. Money was not a problem, but you know that doesn't mean much in life unless you're grounded. You know what you want to do, and you go ahead and do it, and then you keep at it. Sometimes, I remember the Emmons contingent will remember that we didn't have any potable water out in Emmons, and I was a governor for 8 years, and I've been in the Senate for 29 years, and it took just about that long to finally get water to Emmons, West Virginia. And that's what public service is all about. It's not easy. It's frustrating. The bureaucracies are crushing, but you just keep fighting until you get water. And we have water now in Emmons, West Virginia, and I'm very proud about that. But let me just close by saying that I get up every day of my life full of optimism. If you're an optimist, you're a pessimist. I'm an optimist. You have to be an optimist. And all of my political colleagues and former governors and all, you know, you have to always believe that things are going to work, and you've got to make them work. So I believe in West Virginia's future. There's been some bad articles written about West Virginia over the years, and they always make me furious because they're not true. Some of the economics of them are true, but they're so wrong about the people and the people that we have who are going to conquer those problems. I really want to say that I'm so deeply grateful to all of you in this JJ dinner and the Democratic Party and people all across West Virginia for allowing Sharon and me to be a part of your lives, from a dinner table in Weirton to a pew in a church in Boone County. You've welcomed us. You looked us over. You found us okay. And you took us into yourselves. And really, by virtue of what you have done for us, you have given me, at least, and Sharon, a remarkable and wonderful life. God bless you, and thank you for that.
Let me just add a short thought, which is that we really thank all of you for being our special, special friends for so many years. You've been deeply part of the fabric of our lives and will continue to be. Your friendship has carried us through many crises as well as magical opportunities, and you've carried us in your hearts and prayers, and we carry you in our hearts and prayers as well.